Now, from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, 1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and Jeff Lagerman.
All right, welcome in, everybody. Happy Tuesday morning to you. Tuesdays with Jeff Lagerman here on Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. 5 days away, guys, from the Green Bay Packers coming in. And the spectacle it is, the National Football League kicking off.
You know, I love college football. I enjoyed my weekend, you know, just sitting on the couch and watching college football. I am always amazed. You know, you go through the first weekend of the NCAA football season, then that NFL Thursday night opener happens, and that speed and the execution of the NFL game, it marvels me every year. After an entire weekend of college football, even the big-time programs, there's nothing like it.
No.
Nothing like the NFL.
No comparison.
Speed.
You know, I've gotten to the point where, you know, I watch so much of the NFL. Obviously, it's part of the job requirement that, you know, the college football game just doesn't excite me that much anymore. You know, this past weekend,
I know what you're talking about. I did, because I'm going to watch my favorite team, you know, and I'll watch a couple of other premier national games. But I always felt that way about high school football. No offense. I know people love high school football. You know, if my kid played, I'd be all into it and all those things. But, you know, it's just, it's not their fault. They just don't play it at the same level that I enjoy consuming it at. And I'm with Tony and with you, Jeff. The NFL is my cup of tea, man.
So fast.
So happy to have it back.
You don't even realize how fast it is until you've seen something else and then compare it to it. It's an NFL preseason doesn't quite do it justice. Just the way they're going to be flying around on Thursday night, I can't wait for this game between Carolina and Denver.
That's going to be an intriguing game because, I mean, Denver still has a lot of components of their defense still intact.
Missing a few, but...
Yeah, for the most part, they've got, you know, still got some really good players, especially on the edge with DeMarcus Ware and Von Miller. Still got some guys that are very talented in the back end. Got a new quarterback, so it's not as if Peyton Manning was the the carrier of the torch
right.
for the offense.
I don't know if they're any worse off. Nobody knows if they're any better or worse at quarterback. I think it's probably neutral, to be honest with you.
No, and it's, 46 years since there's been a Super Bowl rematch in week one of a regular season. So, you know, that's going to be fun. The Carolina Panthers, and everybody's calling it a revenge game. Once you win the Super Bowl,
you can win that 100-0, and it doesn't help Carolina.
There is no revenge.
No,
opener the next
Cam
year.
Cam knows it. Cam Newton even said this is not a rematch. Don't even call it a rematch. It's just game one of the next year. We didn't beat them.
No, but you know the headlines are making it out to be like if Carolina wins, yes, we told you we were better. No, there's no ring on their finger that can justify that. That's just not going to happen. But I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to, you know, an exciting opening weekend in the National Football League, and there's nothing better than having kickoff weekend and have it be a home game here in Jacksonville.
Especially with the opponent coming in, the sellout, you know, you can get a few, I guess, through season ticket packages. There's still ways to get a few tickets. 633-2000, by the way, if you want
nice
tickets.
Very good.
Call. Hey, why not, man? I want to see Jacksonville turn out in force, but I want to see them get paid off for their passion, right? I don't want to see a great game. I don't want to see 34-31. Oh, man, we give the old college try. Win the game. I don't care if it's 3-0, Jeff. This game.
I'm a big believer in that. You know, you always take steps in the process. You know, Green Bay is considered, you know, an elite team just because they have an elite quarterback.
They make the postseason pretty much year after year.
Yeah. And so I would be okay with a back-and-forth game, you know, regardless of the outcome. I want to see this team compete against a high-level team. And I consider Green Bay a high-level team. So I'm looking forward to a competitive game. Are they going to win? I don't know. You know, do I think they have a great chance? Yes. But, you know, the first games are always, as we talked with Prosser about, very hard to predict because you don't know what teams are going to be. The chemistry's different all the time. And the first game of the year, the hardest realization that you come to as a player is how long they are. Because in the preseason, you know, you're dabbling. You know, you dabble five plays here, and then you got five plays here, and then they're rotating guys in to get them exposure against, you know, the ones, et cetera. But the realization of how long a game is always stunning, no matter how many years you've played the game. Because all of a sudden you go from playing, you know, a high of like 26, maybe 28 snaps in the preseason to the opening week, you're going to play anywhere from 60 to 75 plays, and it's different.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the game is long, and you have to change your mindset and gear your mind to the ebb and flow of a game and to be able to be mentally strong to withstand that, and mentally strong to be able to fight the fatigue that's going to set in. Because I don't care what you do in a preseason. You can play the entire games in the preseason. When you get to the regular season, it's different. The speed is different. The length is different, and it's a big challenge.
Here's what I got for you for Sunday right now, according to the neverfallibleweather.com.
Yes.
I say with tongue firmly planted in cheek. High of 91, 20% chance. It's always a 20% chance of rain, so probably no rain.
Humidity?
91 degrees. Humidity 69%. Can
that'll
we get that up to 89%,
that'll
please?
That'll be pretty warm.
It will
91
be.
With about 70% humidity is going to be
well,
hot.
Well, especially, look, it's not like the Jags – offense or starters played a ton in the preseason either.
And particularly on defense.
Right.
The defense did not play a lot. Fortunately, they're going to be able to play in waves, but the back end typically doesn't play in waves. You know, so those are the guys that I think it's going to stress the most, because you can play too deep up front and roll through the game.
All right, let's do this. We'll throw the question of the day out there, then we'll tell you how you can get on board with Jeff Loggeman today. And the question is this, it's prediction week, okay? We'll save our season predictions for Friday, although we may get Jeff to weigh in. I don't know if he's ready to unveil his prediction for the record for the Jags this year. You're certainly welcome to talk about any aspect of Jaguar or NFL football with us today. But today, specifically, the question of the day, brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships, is asking you to predict the Jaguars' offensive and defensive MVPs for the 2016 season. Who will be the most valuable player on each side of the football for the Jags? You can tweet us, as you know, at MD_1010XL, at Logs56, LOGS56, at 1010XL, Fat Tony. You can hit us up on the text line, driven by Duval Ford, at 641-1010. Same phone number to get in on the phone lines. And the Jaguars Today Facebook page is up and running. A reminder for all of you who showed interest in one of the Jaguars Today Fantasy Football Leagues, check your email for those invites. I've got, I'll tell you what, Tony said he just got one, what, last night?
I got it at 8:30 last night.
I sent those out on Friday, really Saturday morning at about 1 a.m. is what I did. He said exactly what I was going to do. Had my whole day planned out. That's when I could get to it. So the invites have been out. And for tonight's league, there are about four or five owners that have not checked in for tonight's league, including you, David Garrard. I'm talking to you. I saw David on Sunday. Out at the Jaguar kickoff golf tournament. He's like, oh, we're all ready for the league. Dave, don't give me a heart attack. Go log in to your team at ESPN.com. So I'm saying
former
this.
Former players, man.
There's going to reach a point this afternoon where if you haven't gotten in, I'm not going to wait until the last minute to figure out if you're getting in, and I'm going to replace you in the league. You put all this effort into getting in. Make sure you accept your invitation in the Fantasy League. We've got actually two drafts tonight out of the third one. So we've got 8 o'clock tonight, 10:30 tonight, and then 10 o'clock tomorrow night, and then we're finally done, and we're able to kick this thing off and focus on the season at hand. All right, you know how to get on board. It's Jaguars Today. Mike Dempsey, Jeff Loggeman, Fat Tony here with you on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. And speaking of fantasy football, yes, FanDuel is back. Week one is here. If you haven't signed up for FanDuel yet, it is really so much fun because you can dip in and out as much or as often as you like throughout the course of the season. Go to FanDuel.com. If you're signing up for the first time, use my promo code, which is just my first name, Mike. And when you do, you'll get a special offer for new users. If you deposit today, you'll get five free entries to NFL Beginner Contest. That'll start this week. You get one free entry a week, 5 weeks in a row. These are 50-50 contests. Basically, you beat half the field, you're going to win cash. So don't forget, use my code Mike to get those five free entries. And once you're signed up, you can play head-to-head with myself, with Tony, with Tyler Devitt. Go to FanDuel.com/Mike. You can enter as many as three times. Everybody on the station has a listener league. Nobody's got the payout that we do. Four times the payout. $200 top prize. $5 gets you in. It's capped at 250 teams. Use promo code Mike at FanDuel.com to sign up and get those five free entries. And once you do, go to FanDuel.com/Mike. Play against us head-to-head.
Now more with Jeff Loggeman.
Yeah, it was. We had some very tough decisions. Very tough decisions. And we knew that. And to us, that's a good thing. When you're getting down to those last four or five cuts and you have multiple discussions about it, what role everybody can play. So, yeah, I think from top to bottom, without a doubt, we're the best team that we've had, personnel-wise.
I certainly would expect it to be the best team that they've had. They've been building towards it this year, and I think, you know, talent-wise, absolutely, on paper, very excited about what you see. Both veterans coming in free agency, guys that you've developed yourself, continuing to make progress and an outstanding rookie class that you hope is going to contribute. By the way, you see Seattle? Yeah, see how many rookies they have on their 53?
No, I haven't seen it.
15.
Ooh.
15 rookies. It goes to show you, Seattle, you think they're not going to be a playoff team? Of course they're going to be a playoff team. It's about that top 28 or so, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, I've talked to a couple different personnel guys in the league, and they said, you know, your top 10 or 15 guys are kind of the ones that make hay for you. And then from the middle of the roster all the way back to the end.
A lot of interchangeable.
Yeah, they said, you know, that they're dime a dozen. So, I mean, it's not like it's, you know, I'm trying to compare, you know, different grades of diamonds or something like that. You know, it's, you know, pretty easy in a lot of personnel guys' minds. But I'm a big believer in that, you know, that bottom end of the roster can make a big difference for you.
It certainly can. But you're watching what Seattle's going through. When you have continued success, you have guys that get big contracts.
Well, and they've got a system built. You know, they've got a system, they've got a belief, and they've got a tradition. Even though it's a very short tradition, I think it's you almost could compare that to Pittsburgh. You know, the Pittsburgh Steelers, you know, have a mindset. You know, the fans have a mindset. The ball club has a mindset. You know, that the expectations are always up high, very high. You know, and it's, you know, when Gus Bradley and Dave Caldwell always talk about building a culture, well, that's what Seattle has done. That's what Pittsburgh has done. And so even though if you go younger with the roster, the culture sometimes can carry that football team, even though it's very young, to where they need to be. You know, and this team has to build the culture of winning. You know, they started to build a culture, but the culture now needs to become of winning. You know, and it's exciting that you've got a quarterback in year three who had, I think Blake Bortles had a marvelous preseason. His completion percentage was high. He took very good care of the football. And I think probably the most important part of the preseason to me was that first half against the Cincinnati Bengals. And the reason I say that is that, you know, he had success against the Jets. He had success against the Bucks. And then here you are, national television against the Cincinnati Bengals, where you could have wanted to press to maybe force a ball, especially when they were backed up early in that ball game. But you saw him take very good care of the football. And I think that's a trait that he showed in the last 2 years that you wanted him to see get rid of, and that he never felt like he had to be the one to make the play, you know, or that he felt he had to be the one to make the play, whereas in that game he didn't. So I really appreciated that aspect of it. The completion percentage improvement was wonderful because what was he last year, 56, something like that in that range? You know, so to be able to make that significant jump, that's big time.
Yeah, you need to be above 60, and really some of the better quarterbacks are mid-60s and up even these days. And you're right, I think taking care of it, I can live with an up-and-down completion percentage. Rather throw those incompletes and those pick-sixes or those turnovers in general. You know, way too many of those last year. So you're right about that. More efficient with the football, better care taken of it. We'll see if that can continue against Green Bay. Hopefully they'll be up and they won't have to worry about pressing and coming back. 641-1010. Let's get a few calls going. Jeff Logman's here with us. Fat Tony, Mike Dempsey. It's Jaguars Today game week for the first time in 2016. We'll start with Claude in Nocatee. Good morning, Claude.
Good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
We're great, man. What's up?
Listen, T.J. Yeldon and Dante Fowler, the players of the year, the BMPBs of offense and defense, respectively. And it's for the reasons that Jeff just said. These guys come from winning programs, and now they're in a culture of winning that Gus is developing in Jacksonville. And I just believe these guys are going to do the work that is necessary to make themselves and their team winners. Jacksonville on top.
All right, thank you, Claude. I thought T.J. Yeldon, with the exception of the fumble that he had against Cincinnati, I thought he had an outstanding
preseason. He had a great camp. You know, and if his prediction is right, if T.J. Yeldon is the offensive MVP, Dante Fowler's the defensive MVP.
That's perfect, right?
Then the wins are going to be where you want them to be.
Because you want to run the ball, and you got to pressure quarterbacks
exactly.
This year. Yep.
And it also tells two things. You have the ability to run the ball, which means, you know, your score is equal or you're up. And then if Dante Fowler is getting sacks and pressure on the quarterback, that means the opponent's having to throw to play catch-up. So, I mean, if those two guys, and that was two of my guys that I was going to point out, that if those two are the MVPs, this team is right where they needed to be.
How concerned are you, or are you concerned? I don't want to put the characterization in your mouth about the left side of the offensive line. Kelvin Beachum hasn't played much football this preseason, right? And I know he's been practicing now, but doesn't have many game reps. And, of course, we know Luke Joeckel playing a new position for the first time. Is it, as long as those guys are adequate out of the gates, this offense is going to be really good? Or is that, how do you look at it right now?
Well, I don't think they got to be more than adequate. you know, because you can't have one side of the line just be adequate and the other side be okay, you know, better than adequate. You know, you need them to play. I'm not saying they need to play at Pro Bowl level, but they need to play at a good level for this team to be productive. You know, and I really believe this, that Luke Joeckel's a very good run blocker, and I've been saying that for years. You know, his weakness has always been pass blocking in space, and I think that he had a couple snafus, but it was against a great player in Geno Atkins against the Cincinnati Bengals. But overall, Luke Joeckel's a very good run player, very good run player. He finishes strong. He plays with good pad level. I think that will come in time as far as the nuances of the position and learning the steps, et cetera, because he didn't have many reps in preseason. But I'm not concerned. I'm not freaking out over the left side, but I'm concerned. You know, I guarantee you that when I turn on the tape, that's one of going to be the focal point of what I'm going to be watching, because, I mean, those two have to gel in a very quick fashion. It was encouraging to see that before the game in Atlanta, which, you know, what was it, 22, 23 guys didn't even play in that ball game, that Luke Joeckel and Kelvin Beachum were on the field before the game and did the individual periods that they typically go through in practice for conditioning. But then after that, they were working in tandem over there. You know, so that's important, that those two guys get as much work together as they can prior to the opener against Green Bay. And it was encouraging that they even took the opportunity on the field at the Georgia Dome to take advantage of that.
What kind of problems do the Green Bay Packers front seven present? I know it sounds like they're going to put Clay Matthews back on the outside and move it. He was in the inside last year and really wasn't allowed to be much of a pass rusher, but should be kind of that weapon again on the outside for that defense. Outside of him, though, do they have anybody that's a real threat?
Well, the rookie first-round pick that they got from UCLA is going to be – he's a good, really good
Kenny
player.
Kenny Clark.
Excellent player. I remember watching – 2 years ago when they had Kendricks, the linebacker, that was coming out, and, you know, was watching the tape on Kendricks, which was the brother of the linebacker that already was with the Philadelphia Eagles. And I remember watching tape going, man, this Kendricks guy is pretty good. I mean, who's 97? I mean, wow, who is 97? He reminded me of the defensive tackle that played for the San Francisco 49ers, Bryant Young. Remind me of him. And so he's a good player. He's one that's, you know, definitely going to have to be accounted for. Clay Matthews on the outside. I think Kelvin Beachum will do a great job. He's got great feet. I mean, he's got great feet, great hands. I think he'll be able to do a good job against Clay Matthews. And I think it's a good matchup for Jeremy Parnell against Julius Peppers. I think that's okay as well. So I think it's a good matchup for the Jaguars in this game.
You look at what they kept offensive line-wise. Of course, Josh Wells goes on IR, which enabled them to bring Aurelius Ben back. But we thought, would it be nine? It ended up being eight, and Wells was kind of the guy we weren't sure about. Chris Reed made it as expected. Tyler Shatley and Patrick Omame. And I suppose if something were to happen to Kelvin Beachum, you're going to slide Luke Joeckel to the outside. Chris Reed is going to be your left guard. And if something happened to Joeckel, Chris Reed would be your left guard. So
Pretty much, he's
part of it. There's three guys for two spots, two clear-cut starters, and Chris Reed is the guy who gives you the option to cover for injury.
Well, that's interesting because, you know, what will they do on game day? Typically on game day you have seven active. So maybe Shatley would be the first one in at left guard if there's an injury to Luke Joeckel. If there's an injury to Kelvin Beachum, Luke Joeckel, you would expect to move to left tackle. Maybe Shatley goes in there. So maybe it's Omame and Shatley that would be 6 and 7 on game day. You know, Shatley hasn't
had... You would think Omame is certainly one of them.
Sure.
Yeah, he's your swing tackle.
Did a pretty good job. I mean, did a pretty good job. And by the way, got clarification on the PUP. We were kind of wondering about that last week. The rule states that once a player, because we were talking about can you go on if you've been practicing...
Right.
It doesn't matter about practicing. It's that once you pass the physical in preseason and you're cleared to go, then you cannot be put on the regular season PUP. So it's a matter of the physical itself.
Right. So at any point you pass that, whether you play in the preseason or not.
That's right.
Then you're not eligible for the physically unable to perform list. 641-1010, if you'd like to get in, we'll take a timeout here. We'll come back. Look at the Jags' defensive side of the football. Any surprises there? We thought, could they keep 9 defensive linemen? Could they keep 10? Well, they kept 11 is the way it ended up going. We'll take a look at what they've got and what the challenge is this week. It's a big one with Aaron Rodgers and company coming to town. Game week for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Get on board Jaguars today at 641-1010. The question of the day on social media, who will the Jaguars' offensive and defensive MVPs be in 2016? Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Jeff Logman here with you on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Jaguars Daily is brought to you by Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, the official sports medicine provider for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
On Sunday, the Jaguars get ready to host Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers in front of a sellout crowd, and linebacker Paul Posluszny knows that the team has to be on point.
Being fundamentally sound, being exactly where we need to be and trusting our teammates, that's going to be extremely important, because anytime you try to guess or you're out of position, when you have an elite offense that they have, Packers, and playing against an elite quarterback, they can expose that. Being fundamentally sound and doing exactly our job to our highest abilities, that's going to be extremely important.
Now the Jaguars are asking fans to submit photos of local military members and first responders in uniform to be used as part of a halftime tribute on Sunday. Photos can be submitted through social media using the hashtag JagSalute, or sent through email to entertainment@jaguars.com. This has been Jaguars Daily, brought to you by JOI.
This is the quarterback here at Jacksonville Jaguars, Blake Bortles, and you are listening to Jaguars Today on 1010 XL and 92.5 FM.
All right, it is Jaguars Today. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Jeff Loggeman here with you on 1010 XL, 92.5 FM. By the way, it's been pointed out to me. Last night, I haven't watched it. I'm sure I'll see it at some point. The roast of Rob Lowe. I enjoy the Comedy Central roast because it's just, you know, there's no holds barred.
Oh,
and
it's fantastic.
Down in the gutter. And I enjoy the cringeworthy moments. But apparently,
but hey,
Peyton Manning.
Don't worry about Rob Lowe. He is a workhorse. And heck, man, if they ever stop casting you in sitcoms, just look on the bright side. You tried to take the air out of my retirement announcement so fast, you can probably get a job as Tom Brady's ball boy.
We got anything else?
It's pretty mild. That's it right
now.
Yeah,
that's about,
here, roast, apparently, it's nothing.
Apparently Peyton said something, because some of the roasters are like, that's all they do, right? When do you ever see Jeffrey Ross anywhere? Maybe
they gave him
tours
like
the country.
Like Comedy Central gave him some show where it's basically just people head-to-head roasting each other. Like, that's the show. I haven't watched any of it, but I've seen, like, the commercial for whatever on Comedy Central where he's hosting, and it's just two people get in there and just abuse one another.
Well, Manning said last night, this is not a direct quote, I didn't see it, but he said something to the effect of, all these people up here that I've never heard of, it's just like I got traded to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Yeah.
It's a roast.
It's not.
Not wrong with that.
They're right. As far as shots go, that's pretty mild right there. I mean, pretty nondescript team nationally, I think.
Jacksonville didn't already.
If you're going to get up in arms about that one,
if you're Peyton Manning, who else are you going to name?
Right,
exactly.
You know,
right.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of Gator fans in Jacksonville. He played in the division against them for 15 years. It's not like anyone here likes him. So, he's going to go down in the eyes of Jaguars fans. It's not possible. He's already way down there.
Exactly. All right, let's get a few calls in here. Jeff Logman's on board. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. Tyler Devitt as well, who got us Leon Searcy joining the program tomorrow. Big Leon was a lot of fun the last time we had him on, and we'll talk about his organization, Real Men Block, as well as preview the upcoming season for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I got Peyton with a Ann Coulter joke. Do you want to hear it?
Sure, why not? I think I've probably heard, because I read most of the Ann Coulter jokes that were put out there.
Wow. I just realized that I am not the only athlete up here tonight. As you all know, earlier this year, Ann Coulter won the Kentucky Derby.
Throw a saddle on her. Old horse face. There you go. All right. It's a roast. It's just the way it goes. Loggeman looked slightly uncomfortable.
Ooh.
There.
Ooh.
Somebody had printed a story last week, because they recorded this last week. Apparently, Ann Coulter was more the subject of the roast than Rob Lowe was, as it turned out.
Oh, she shamelessly plugged her Trump book 10 times, maybe.
I'm sure she did.
It was so bad.
I'm sure she did. Let's go to Henry in Ortega this morning. Henry, you're on Jaguars Today. Good morning. How are you?
Hey, guys. Good morning. How are y'all doing?
Great, buddy. What's up?
Good. Hey, I just had a couple questions about some cuts. Why do you think they chose to let go of Jordan Tripp and Tyrone Holmes?
Well, Jordan Tripp, when I saw that, I said, okay, you really don't have a lot of linebacker depth. But when they signed the linebacker who Mike is a big fan of,
Arthur Brown yeah,
from the Baltimore Ravens, it made sense to me. Brown's a very, very good special teams player, and that's the role that Jordan Tripp played. So Jordan Tripp's role last year was a backup, you know, to all linebacking positions. Well, now you've got Miles Jack, who many viewed as the top five pick in that role. So you didn't really need him for that anymore. So special teams was going to be it. That doesn't surprise me. Tyrone Holmes, the Jaguars wanted to keep Tyrone Holmes, but in a practice squad capacity. Was he worthy of keeping on the 53? You know, I made the argument going all the way back to watching his college tape, but I think it might have been with you, Mike, you know, here on this show, that I said, you know, when I watched him, I thought he was a very effective pass rusher, but I thought he would have a hard time making this football team because he's limited athletically. You know, because of the role that he would play, if he's going to be active on game day, he's not going to beat out Dante Fowler. He's not going to beat out Yannick Ngakoue. It would be as a special teams player. That's not his strength. You know, he's a pass rusher where he can bend the edge a little bit. That he does have some talent in bending the edge, but not worthy of keeping on the 53-man roster. Chris Smith was more effective than him in the preseason. My argument, or if you wanted to bring up an argument, was why not keep Ryan Davis ahead of Chris Smith? To me, that's a tough one. You guys know I'm a big fan of Ryan Davis.
Absolutely.
He's a great athlete.
He's the best pass rusher they've had for the last couple of years outside of Cedric Marks.
Positional flexibility, can play inside and on you know, as a nickel rusher, can play Leo, although I don't think that they had as high a belief in him as playing Leo as I did. So that would have been a more, you know, sound argument. But Tyrone Holmes, you know, I feel good about it. You know, for a team that, you know, like the Cleveland Browns that picked him up, that just needs guys and bodies. I mean, they just are in the developmental stage. They're going to take flyers. You know, that was a good pickup for them. But for this team right here, you know,
hopefully get used to it, Jeff. Sixth, seventh round picks don't often make, you know, good ascending clubs. And that's a sign that, hey, you know, sometimes you invest something in a guy and it doesn't work out and you don't get to keep him, but that's life in the big city. That means you have a commodity that somebody else wants.
Tyrone Holmes is not in the same category of Ngakoue or Dante Fowler. And if anybody believes that he's even in the same stratosphere as those two guys, you're way off, way off.
All right, let's take another call here at 641-1010. Henry, thank you for that call. Let's go to Darren at the beach. What's up, Darren?
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, Loggy, got a question. When preparing for, like, Green Bay this week, and each week that's preparation, does the team take a particular day and all the position coaches get with the different players and they say, okay, this is your matchup for this week. Look for these signs. This is his weaknesses, his movement. If he moves to the left, you know, that, I mean, is that kind of detail, do they take a day during the week of game preparation? And what might we see this coming week when we're looking at Jordy Nelson coming back and that sort of thing? Enjoy the show, guys.
Yeah, every position group gets a presentation from the position coach on the players that they will face. And also position coaches also expect players, like, for example, when I was in New York and Pete Carroll was the defensive coordinator, Greg Robinson was our defensive line coach. On Friday, we had to turn in a written report on every guy that we were going to face. So if you were a defensive end, you were writing stuff on the left tackle, on the right tackle, if you flip sides. If you were a right or left side only, you only focused in on that guy you were going to face. If you were a defensive tackle, you would write reports on the center and the two guards. You know, so not only did they give you something, but they also expected you to find out more. Stances, techniques, weaknesses, strengths, everything that about that guy that you would expect to know. And then, you know, coordinators have books on coordinators. You know, no matter what team they're with, for example, you know, defensive coordinators in the National Football League, it's kind of like a little bit of a carousel. So coordinators, whether it be offensive or defensive, if you're a defensive coordinator, you've got a book on an offensive coordinator everywhere he's ever been. His tendencies, what he likes to do. And so they present that to the team with tendencies. And nowadays, with statistics the way that it is, and what's the term where every team in the league now has a department?
Metrics?
The metrics.
Analytics.
The amount of data that they have in that now is unbelievable. You know, whereas before it was based on watching film. I mean, literally they now have computers that break down tendencies to every down and distance that there is. So they present that. But there's also a point as a coach that you don't want to give them too much because you want them to be reactive. You don't want them to be, okay, it's 3rd and 7 to 8, and this is what they like to do 70% of the time, and then as a player, you're thinking only that 70%. Well, what happens if it's the 30%? You know, so there's a certain part where the calls are skewed towards the percentages, but the presentation that actually goes to the players won't get exactly that detail.
I think it depends on the player a little bit, too. Like, if you watch enough games, you'll hear guys talk about after games. A guy like Patrick Peterson will talk about his film study and say, I saw this on tape. Mm-hmm. And I think he's an athletic enough guy that he may have in his head this is their tendency on third and eight, but he's athletic enough to react to whatever the guy in front of him is doing. But if he knows that tendency, he can react. And if he's on you, he's on you. Yeah, you know, it's like knowing a fastball is coming.
The really good players are the ones that take that information on tendencies, okay? And let's say you got a 70% tendency for one thing on this formation. Is the player will take that, look at the formation, look at the splits, look at the stances, and then be able to tell you with almost 99% accuracy of exactly what the play is going to be using all of the information. The statistical probability, the stances, the splits, and everything. Because, you know, the statistical stuff doesn't give you, okay, well, if he's cheating out to this split as a wide receiver, it's going to be this, the 30% one. But those are the details that you get from watching the film, and then also you get from the coaching staff as well.
I just want to point out quickly to correct myself earlier. I mentioned 11 defensive linemen. I confused myself. I'm looking at a depth chart that lists Derek Marks in a couple of different spots. They kept 10, of course, Chris Smith ostensibly being the 10th guy. One thing, Jeff, that we, you know, just talking about some of the guys that they did keep, I think preseason play with Chris Smith certainly factored into it. I think certainly with Josh Johnson as well in the secondary. He made all this guy can do. He's not picking, whether he gets an opportunity to go against first teamers or not. When he was on the field, he made big plays consistently time and again for this Jaguar team. And it was nice to see that that got paid off. It's good to see that they could get Nick Marshall back on the practice squad because I know they want to develop him. But right now, Josh Johnson looks like he could help you more.
The more game ready.
Right. Exactly. If he called upon on Sunday afternoon, you think you'd get more out of him than you would Nick Marshall.
Well, he's got some experience in the CFL. You know, so that kind of gives him a little bit of a, I guess you could say, a veteran presence. And it kind of showed throughout the preseason. You know, I remember talking to Dave Caldwell back in the spring. He told me, he said, you know, keep an eye on this Josh Johnson. You know, we really liked some of the things that he did in the CFL. And so I kind of always kept that statement in the back of my mind when I watched him. And I was like, you know, waiting and waiting and waiting for him to do something. And all of a sudden, that, what, he had a pick six.
79 yards.
Had a pick six, had another interception.
The diving interception in Atlanta was tremendous. He had a sack. I mean, he had a very, very productive preseason.
And despite the fact that he fumbled on the kickoff return, he did show you that he could
returnability.
He averaged over 20 yards on 3 kickoff returns in that game. So, it, you know, if you're looking for another guy, if Corey Grant, something happened to him, you've got that option with flexibility that Josh Johnson gives you there. All right, coming back, we've got this date in football and the Honda drive around the NFL. It's game week for the first time in 2016. If you'd like to get in, 641-1010, the primary way to do that. Hit us up on social media with your response to the question of the day, which asks you, who will the Jaguars' offensive and defensive MVPs be in 2016? With Fat Tony and Jeff Logman, I'm Mike Dempsey. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Jaguars Today from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute Studios at Everbank Field. Can't get enough Jaguar football?
That's what I'm talking about.
Good. We can't either. You're listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history, September 6th. Let's go back to 1946. No, it's not the Chicago All-Star Game. We're done with those. It's the All-American Football Conference. The what? Yes, the All-American Football Conference.
The AAFC.
One of the early challengers to the National Football League. The National Football League, in fact, when a national magazine did a pro football preview that included this conference, they banned the magazine from all their stadiums. They were just, you know, that's how they...
It's where Sid Gilman got his start, right?
It's where a lot of guys got their start, actually. The Cleveland Browns won the first game ever, beating the Miami Seahawks 44-0 in that game before over 60,000 at Cleveland's Municipal Stadium. The Browns were coached by future Hall of Famer Paul Brown. They went on to go 12-2, and they won the first of 4 consecutive AAFC championships before four of the teams were able to move to the National Football League as part of a mini merger in 1950. So the Browns won the league every single year it existed. The Browns used to actually be a really good franchise back in the day. It's been a while.
Used to be.
Yeah. I know they won the NFL title.
They got a long road ahead of them.
I know they won the NFL title at least the first year they came to the NFL. I can't remember if it was back-to-back or not.
Right. And, of course, the NFL's feeling at the time was our worst team was better than their best team. Didn't turn out to be the case. Famous birthdays for this date. Former Georgia quarterback. Didn't have a long tenure in the National Football League. But Eric Zier, born in the state in 1972. A lot of Bulldog fans around town certainly remember that name. He's 44 years old today. Four-time Pro Bowler, two-time first-team All-Pro Ryan Clady spent all of his career with the Denver Broncos, now playing left tackle for the Jets. He is 30 years old, born in the state in 1986. And Ryan Shazier, the young Pittsburgh Steeler linebacker, hoping to have a healthy season, still only 24 years young. He is born on this date in 1992, and that is this date in football history.
Now the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
San Francisco has released tight end Bruce Miller after an arrest. Miller is being held on a $178,000 bond and charged with assault with a deadly weapon, not a firearm, two counts of criminal threats, battery, and elder abuse. Miller allegedly fought a 70-year-old man and his son at the Marriott at Fisherman's Wharf. He was drunk at the time of the incident and apparently refused the room. Went out, partied a little bit more, came back, knocked on a random door, and then assaulted the man who answered it, who happened to be a 70-year-old man. So Miller has been released by the 49ers. Joey Bosa held out of San Diego's practice yesterday, putting his status for the Chargers' season opener against Kansas City this weekend in doubt. Bosa, who ended his holdout by signing with the team last week, has still not participated in a padded practice with the team. The head coach, Mike McCoy, said, quote, "He was a little tight, so we held him out today. So we'll just go one day at a time moving forward from here. And when he's ready to participate and he's in game shape and willing and able to play, he'll be out there and playing in games." Willing and able is an interesting statement there. A big trade this weekend in the NFL. The Philadelphia Eagles traded quarterback Sam Bradford to the Minnesota Vikings in exchange for a first-round pick next year and a conditional fourth-round draft pick in 2018. Teddy Bridgewater is expected to go in for surgery to repair his injured knee on Thursday. Bridgewater, of course, will miss the entire 2016 season.
That is a hell of a deal for Philadelphia. It could turn out to be a great deal for Minnesota. You know, if he is Sam Bradford, who's never taken a team to the playoffs, has a lot more talent around him now than he probably has ever played with before. If he
and
can
how
get
many good years of Adrian Peterson do you have left?
Right.
I mean, you don't want to waste one.
And Teddy Bridgewater's injury is one that they're not 100% convinced he's going to be ready a year from now.
No, from what all the reports were, it was a pretty gruesome injury to where he had ACL
dislocated
and a dislocated knee.
Yeah. Bradford's under contract for 2 years, so they've got him under control for that period of time. But Philadelphia, I don't fault Philly for signing him because you don't know you're going to be in position to be able to trade up to the number two pick at that point in time. So I don't fault them for signing him. And then
no.
They bring in Chase Daniel for, that's pretty expensive money for a backup just to teach guys a head coach's offense. $7 million a year for Chase Daniel.
Worked out perfectly.
Pretty good for him. He wishes he could be starting right now, but they're turning it over to Carson Wentz, which, look, Philly is not going to win the Super Bowl this year.
No, but
probably the best thing they could do is give it to the rookie.
It just goes to show the importance of drafting or acquiring talent at the quarterback position. You know, much like the Jaguars with Rob Johnson that turned into Fred Taylor.
Sure.
I mean, you try to stockpile that position as often as you can. And I've made this comment before that I think every year you consider drafting a quarterback. Why? Because if it turns out to be somebody that can help your franchise win, that's great. If it's somebody that turns out to be a very talented player that has to play in the event of injury, that's great. But that exposure and that talent can get you twice as much of the value at any other position if that position turns out to be a hit.
Well, look at Dak Prescott. Right, I mean the preseason that he had. What was he, a fourth round pick this
fourth
year?
Fourth round,
right?
Yeah.
What if Dallas were in a position where they were loaded at the quarterback spot and they didn't have to start him out of the gates? What could you get for Dack Prescott right now? You would think
you could
maybe
get a nice,
pretty good return
of draft picks, absolutely.
Right? Because he's a young guy and his whole career is out in front of him. And you know, you look at him now and you wonder if he's not going to pull a Russell Wilson. You know, who just nobody expected him
know.
To come in and beat the incumbent out. I understand. You know, Romo would have been starting here, but who knows if Romo can stay healthy for any period of time once he gets back.
You don't at all. And with the Jaguars, you know, Brandon Allen, you know, sixth-round pick. He was the second sixth-round pick that they had. to be able to get him. You know, you're in a position where you have a guy that you expect to be the franchise in Blake Bortles, but you're not in the position to where you can afford to pay a backup $5 or $6 million a year in the future. So you draft a guy like Brandon Allen. I thought he played very well, very well. In fact, Film Room Friday coming up, Jaguars.com, going to do a couple plays on him because he was very impressive to me. His pocket presence, I mean, as a rookie, outstanding. Outstanding. He has better pocket presence, and this isn't a shot at Chad Henne, but he has better pocket presence than Chad Henne right now. I mean, that's impressive.
That's a low bar then for Chad Henne. I mean, that shouldn't be the case.
Well, the reality is that, you know, when Chad Henne was a starter, you know, pocket presence allows balls to get out of the pocket pretty clean, and we know that he had
the
highest percentage of tip balls in the league. You know, so seeing what Brandon Allen did in that game, that ball that he threw to Shaq Evans for the touchdown, that was an absolute dart. The decision-making that he made on another throw that I'll show on Film Room Friday that he made on, I think it was like a second and seven, and the Falcons bring a blitz, and he identifies it, gets it out in a hurry, and you could tell he's getting his feet set because he knew that he had to get it out in a hurry. He had limited amount of time. Was really good. The way he drifts in the pocket just to buy a little comfort and then to buy a clean throwing lane, I thought was really good. You know, next year, he'll be your backup.
I know you said you watched a film on Josh Sitton to see, you know, what he had left or where he was, you know, when he got released. Have you started breaking down the Green Bay film for this Sunday, or was that part of it, or was that a specific thing just to look at him?
Well, I watched it because I wanted to watch Aaron Rodgers, because that's the only game that he played, was their third preseason game. I'm forgetting who it was against. It'll come to me in a minute. But I wanted to watch Josh Sitton. I wanted to watch Aaron Rodgers in his limited action in the preseason. It's hard to watch. Like, if you could go back and you could watch last year's Green Bay film. But it's a different team, you know? Is the scheme different? The personnel's different, always slightly different. So it's hard to go back. I love, once you get in the regular season, you've got about three games you can go back on and really hone in on, because then you're starting to truly find out what they want to be and what they are. But it's hard to evaluate the preseason because, much like we talked about last week, some of the packages that you ran against the Cincinnati Bengals, Jaguars aren't going to run that stuff against the Green Bay Packers.
Certainly not at those times and down the distance and all that, yeah.
No, so it's hard to go back to the year before. With McCarthy, is probably a little bit easier because that's not going to change a ton. So I will go back and watch Green Bay today, tomorrow, in last year's season to kind of see where they ended up.
Right. How do you defend Aaron Rodgers? What is the best? Because he's so dangerous. He can get outside the pocket. I mean, look,
he can do it all.
Right. There's no simple answer to this, because he is, I think, the best quarterback and the best player still in the National Football League. So there's no easy answer. But what is your approach as a defensive player to try to contain Aaron Rodgers?
You got to play sound defense, and you can't give him easy stuff. You know, and as a pass rusher, you got to make sure that guys are fresh, because he will extend the play to run, extend the play to throw. And he's one of the best in the league at it. In fact, in that game that I watched, he had two plays that I'll show on Film Room Friday also, which is the true danger of Aaron Rodgers. Remember the Hail Mary last year?
Yeah.
Couple of them.
Both of them.
Yeah, two of them. You know, the Hail Mary happens for Aaron Rodgers because of his ability to extend the play and his arm talent. So he's got it all. He's got it all. You better stop Eddie Lacy, because if he has balance, he's that much harder to defend. Just like what we saw with Blake Bortles with the Jets game and the Bucs game. You got a nice, strong running game, and boy, doesn't it make it look easy for Blake Bortles. Well, Aaron Rodgers, I mean, that position is the same. If they've got a great running game to support a great quarterback, it's very difficult, so they better limit Eddie Lacy.
Yeah, they got really good work from Eddie Lacy the first 2 years of his career. Last year was whatever. For whatever reason, the Packers' run game wasn't working. They didn't have Jordy Nelson. It just looked out of sorts at time. Look, they're getting Nelson back. It sounds like he's going to be ready to go for the opener. Eddie Lacy has looked really good in this preseason. I agree with you, Jeff. If they are able to run the ball, and having Nelson back and being able to put Cobb back in that slot position where he excelled through the first couple of years of his career, I think we could potentially see the Packers' offense back to being as dangerous as it was 2 years ago.
Yeah, Roy Miller, you know, who did not play in the last preseason game or against the Cincinnati Bengals, they need Roy Miller to play. And they need Paul Posluszny at the mic position to play well, Jonathan Cyprian to tackle well. You know, Eddie Lacy looks good. You know, and I expect, you know, because all the conversation at the end of last year was about how he was overweight. You know, I expected to see the leaner, meaner version of Eddie Lacy. And watching him on film, he looks like the Eddie Lacy. Still big, overweight.
But he lost. But good player. You can tell he lost a good bit, though. I mean, he's still big. He's big, but he is not. He was fat. Last year.
It was the game, by the way, was against the 49ers. And the reason I remember that, because that's the game that Eddie Lacy got tackled by his dreads.
Yeah.
And going to show that on Film Room Friday as well.
He decided to cut his hair after the game.
Which is legal.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Legal play.
Right. You grab anything you can get your hands on, as long as it's not the inside of the back
Jason
of the jersey.
Jason Babin and Chris Johnson.
Absolutely. It's the way it goes. So Babin had a little trophy.
Yeah. He said he was worried about his knee. Like, the pain in his head, he was like, whatever. It was like getting pulled from down from behind.
It's like a horse collar. Yeah. Right, but it's a legal one.
It's a legal horse collar if you grab somebody by their hair.
You know the guy who worries me, not that Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb don't worry me, but Jared Cook has had a terrific offseason, preseason, very reminiscent. It's very easy to make a comparison to JerMichael Finley because they're very similar athletes. And he has given Aaron Rodgers, despite the fact he had Richard Rodgers, I think he scored 8 touchdowns last year. So he's a good red zone threat, but this guy can stretch the field. And the Jags have had problems covering tight ends in recent years. We don't know what their composition is going to be on third down in nickel packages, but even in base, I look back and I know he's not a tight end, but the way they use Quincy Enunwa is similar to that sometimes for the New York Jets. And you see those two plays back-to-back where they got beat down the seam. We've seen Paul Posluszny get lost in coverage at times or just not be able to keep up with faster guys. He worries me this week, Jeff. What about Cook?
Well, he should worry you. And I think that Jonathan Cyprian's got to be able to take a big step up. I mean, this is year 4 for Jonathan Cyprian. You know, and you heard the coaches talk about, well, you know, now that we've defined Jonathan Cyprian's role as a box player, okay, well, now it's time to start seeing Jonathan Cyprian be consistent week in and week out, not have a game where you go, you know what, that was really good. And then the next week you're like, geez, man, what happened to Jonathan Cyprian? What happened to him? He needs to be consistent for this team. It's year 4 for him. This is a big year for Jonathan Cyprian.
No doubt.
And this is the perfect type of game for him to be able, with Jared Cook, to be able to cover him and to be able to allow, you know, Tashaun Gibson to play center field and not have to worry about, well, I've got to help here, to where he can help on the outside. This is a big year.
All right, we'll come back in a moment. We'll get your opinion, and that's all it can be at this point in time, is how they'll use Miles Jack. How will they deploy him against the Green Bay Packers this upcoming weekend? If you'd like to get on board, 641-1010, both on the phone line and the text line, driven by Duval Ford. We'll check in there as well. The social media question of the day asks you to predict who the Jaguars' offensive and defensive MVPs will be in 2016. Mike Dempsey, Jeff Loggeman, Fat Tony here with you. It's Jaguars today on the first game week of the season here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, this is Jaguars Today.
We'll look and see how this week goes. You know, he gives us flexibility. He's primarily playing a lot of will right now. And giving us that spot there where, you know, he can provide some depth there. And we'll just see how much he progresses. He continues to play, then, you know, we got to find a role for him. He's going to have a role on special teams. There's no doubt about it. Where he fits in defensively right now, ask me more towards the end of the week.
Now, we're not there at the end of the week yet, Gus. We need answers today.
You can ask him at the end of the week, and he's not going to give you any more than that.
Let me give you – he might say, well, he has more of a role than we expected. He's not going to – be specific, so that's why we have you here, Jeff Loggeman. Miles Jack, you know, people, when they hear, oh, he's going to have a role in special teams, that's not what they want to hear. They want to see this guy get on the field on the defensive packages, whether it's the base or the nickel, what have you, especially when you hear all about his great coverage ability. He flashes that speed every time you see him on the field, and he arrives with great force. So what do you think on Sunday? What's your educated guess tell you as how they will utilize him?
I think exactly what Gus said, special teams and as a backup. Now, they may have him involved in packages where he's a nickel backer with Telvin Smith, but I think that might be a little early yet. At some point, though, I mean, his natural position is Will, weak side backer, which is what Telvin Smith plays. You know, they allowed him to play Mike to learn everything the entire defense. And that's the smart approach. Teach him the toughest position, the position to where you can learn everything in there. You can learn the calls, and then when he plays the weak side, he can learn all of it in one shot. But at some point, you're going to have a decision to make. Telvin Smith on regular downs or Miles Jack.
Right. Now, that's for this year. Do you think they envision a year from now Miles Jack is the successor to Paul Posluszny because he's trained in the middle? Put it this way.
I don't see that.
So you think then it's not a decision, is it? I mean, you didn't draft Miles Jack to be depth for you behind Telvin Smith for the next few years. If you see him as a weak side backer, he's going to take Telvin's job sometime in the future.
Maybe. Unless Telvin plays really well, because Telvin has the ability to play really well.
And that's what I'm saying. If Telvin plays really well, would that be what they envision, that if to get their best guys on the field next year, you put Miles Jack in as your middle linebacker and you put Telvin as your weak side guy? Is that the hope, that Telvin plays well enough to make that the enviable situation?
You hope. You know, but I mean, you got to have a guy that can play both on game day. And I don't see Miles Jack playing auto. The reality is, in the National Football League, nickel reps are about 60-65% of the snaps on defense. So if you can get him on the field for nickel, he's essentially a starter anyway. So maybe he's the Mike in the nickel. Telvin still continues to be the Will in nickel. Now, on base downs, could he play the Mike, Miles Jack? Sure, he could play the Mike, but his best position is to where he's running and running free, which is the Will, that the weak side. That's his natural position. So they're going to have a little bit of a, you know, decision to make at some point in the future, but you can still get two talented players on the field in nickel, both Miles Jack and Telvin Smith. Because
we
know that Paul is limited in one area, and that's coverage. Everything else, first and second down, Paul Posluszny is fantastic.
What does Telvin Smith need to do to hold his status on the team? Like, he's got the speed to play in the nickel and cover guys, but sometimes he overreacts, and I think that's this is an oversimplification from me, the non-NFL player, that he tries to do too much, make too many plays, and as Gus always says, do your job, gets himself out of position with the right intention, which is to try to make a play, but it can mess up everything else on the defense. And as we've seen in the preseason, his aggressiveness can be used against him by savvy veteran quarterbacks.
Well, the Jets game, I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick was just, you know, playing games with Telvin Smith, moving him with his eyes, and getting the ball right to the area that Telvin vacated, because he's getting influenced by the old sucker eyes. And so there's not many quarterbacks that can do that. The veteran guys can, but Telvin just needs to become more consistent. He needs to be a little bit more physical in the run game, and then he'll stay on the field. And then they'll find a way to get everybody on the field at the same time. I can even see at some point where you have Miles Jack, Paul Posluszny, and Telvin Smith on the field at the same time, but you that type of defense you would play without Miles Jack having to be on the tight end on the line of scrimmage. That's the one area that I just don't see Miles Jack doing, which is an on the line of scrimmage, true strong side, Sam outside backer, or auto when they do require Dan Scuda or that position to line up on the tight end. I don't think that would be his cup of tea. He needs to be off the ball and allowed to use his athleticism and his speed. Now, is he ready to jump in a starting lineup right now and be able to contribute? You know, Tony and I were just talking about this during the break. He has moments to where the athleticism, how physical he is, how strong he is at the point of arrival. But then it's the part where the ball's snapped, and then before that first step is taken, where it's still a work in progress.
Here's one on the text line driven by Duval Ford. Jeff, you talked about having a book on opposing players and coaches and whatnot. Would that book include a player's past or current injuries? And if so, I mean, you know, you always hear about players saying, you know, we don't want to say what the specific injury is because we don't want the other team targeting it. How much is that a commonplace practice in the National Football League? If you know a guy's had a bum shoulder in the past, are you trying to, if you possibly can, within the boundaries of the rules, focus on that shoulder?
Oh, you're aware.
I understand you're
aware. Absolutely.
So that's something that you're trying to...
Is it talked about From the coaching staff, not so much.
Right. You well,
not in
you don't
a
want to go down the whole
setting.
Right. The whole
targeting.
Right. The what bounty gate issue.
Yeah, I mean, that's hey, look, players. Yeah.
I mean, players know. I mean, look, if a guy has, you know, if a wide receiver running back has a reported injury and you go out there on game day and you see that that area is taped up, padded up, whatever. That becomes a spot that you want to attack. That's mm-hmm. just reality. Hey, look, there's nothing wrong about that. There's nothing illegal about that. You know, just as long as you do it within the boundaries of the rules.
So to follow up on that, the texter basically is concerned that Green Bay and other teams are going to try to target Dante Fowler, cut him, and, you know, go and test that knee out.
Yeah.
Pretty standard practice, right?
Why not?
He should expect it.
Got to be within the rules.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to get cut whether you got an injury or not, you know. But if you watch the film and you watch Dante Fowler move, you're not going to go, boy, it looks like he's really favoring that knee. But now Kelvin Beachum. Okay, Kelvin Beachum getting ready to play, you know, first full game since coming back from an ACL reconstruction. If I'm going against Kelvin Beachum, I'm going to test his power, his ability to sit and anchor with that knee. I'm going to give him a lot of power rushes in this ball game. But that's natural. Nothing wrong against that. You know,
no, I'm not saying there is.
It's just the same type of situation if you're facing, you know, a guy like Luke Jokel who has had trouble with power in the past.
Yeah.
By attacking that, no different than that.
Yeah, be foolish not to.
Sure.
And going back to Miles Jack for a moment, you talked about you don't think he really fits that auto position. Do you think
if he's on the line of scrimmage,
right,
he doesn't fit.
But do you think that's more of a... Because it doesn't fit his particular skill set, he's better in space, so you want to use him in space? Or is it a strength issue for Miles Jack where you don't think he can hold the point of attack there?
I don't think it's not a strength issue. It's a length issue.
Okay.
You know, your auto position linebacker, in a perfect world, your auto would be 6'4" and have, you know, a 37, 38-inch sleeve length and can separate the tight ends. Because, I mean, look at Mercedes Lewis. Those are the kind of guys the auto has to line up against and be able to defeat the block of.
Uh-huh.
You know, so if you take Miles Jack, which is what, 6'2", you know, maybe 6'2.5", you know, 235 pounds, Mercedes, 6'7", 38, 39-inch sleeve length, you know, 280 pounds, probably not the perfect matchup in the world, you know. So you'd like to have a guy with a little more length playing that auto position, just for the separation at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
You know, you'd rather have, you know, somebody that was built more like a Chris Clemens, but, you know, not 250 pounds playing that auto in a perfect world.
What is a reasonable, in your opinion, reasonable expectation for how much production Dante Fowler Jr. is going to give him this year?
I said in the offseason, and I'm sticking with it, he's a phenomenal athlete. I mean, he is a gifted athlete, one of those rarities you really see. What do they call him, generational?
Sure.
Guys, I think Jalen Ramsey is one of those guys, and I think that Dante Fowler is one of those guys. I would compare Dante Fowler athletically to Tony Brackens. I mean, just freakish athletic. But I still think that there's a lot to learn for him playing that position, a lot to learn about technique of pass rush, aiming points, counter moves and moves, whereas Yannick Ngakoue is a guy who he's got all that. You know, he's figured that stuff out. Dante Fowler is an athlete learning to play a certain position. I think a reasonable expectation for Dante Fowler, first of all, you're going to see him lay some hits on people that you've never seen before. Never. He has a quick twitch about him that nobody has. As far as pass rushing, 6 sacks, I think, would be really good for him this year. And a lot of people are saying, 6? Only 6? I mean, we want double digits. It's his first year playing.
Right.
First year pass rushing. But trust me, what you see out of Dante Fowler athletically will not disappoint you.
Yeah, rare is the rookie pass rusher that gets you double-digit sacks.
No.
And I think, you know, with his strong off-season throw OTAs and all that, I think expectations have gone up and up and up.
My understanding the same, 6 sacks.
General collection of talent, do they have enough to rush the passer? And we don't. We can't say this guy's going to get this number, this guy's going to get that number, but are you content with the potential that they have to get after quarterbacks this year?
I feel good about it, but I'd feel really good about it if I had a guy who's been proven to get, you know, 10 sacks a year on the outside.
Right.
And then you can work Ngakoue and Dante Fowler in as they learn and they get better. But look, that's in the at the NFL, how many teams have that luxury? Not many. Now you have that luxury at defensive tackle. You know, Sheldon Day is a perfect example. You got Malik Jackson, Sanderic Marks, Jared Odrick. Well, how much you want to play Sheldon Day? Well, you know, we'll see how Sheldon Day does.
Right.
You know, it'd be great to have that situation at defensive end where you've got, okay, veteran guy A, and then we've got two young players to be able to play. Whoever's the hot hand, we're playing the opposite of the veteran. And then once they all kind of learn, then we'll find a nice rotation to make everything work. But that doesn't happen very often in the league. You don't have that luxury.
641-1010, the number. Somebody texting in on the text line driven by Duval Ford. I saw this item at Roto World. Rob Domofsky is a Packers reporter. He's basically the equivalent to Mike DiRocco, part of the NFL Nation coverage. He doubts that Jordy Nelson's going to be able to play a full slate of snaps this week. Coming off for a wide receiver whose speed is probably his best known asset, Jordy Nelson is one of the best deep threats in the league. Is it any concern? I mean, does your speed return to you fairly quickly when you come off an ACL? What is the biggest concern when you're returning from an ACL injury?
Well, I mean, a couple things. One is your speed is not completely back yet. Some guys it does. I mean, Adrian Peterson had no problems whatsoever coming back.
Get a short turnaround.
Everybody is different. You know, everybody is different. Is he really 100% like some of the reports are? I would have a hard time believing that. The chances or the probability of that is not very high. Can he still be productive? Sure. But can he be the Jordy Nelson of old? I doubt it. Now, maybe in week 10, 11, 12, you know, down the road, which, you know what, who cares by then?
Right.
You know, you've already played the Green Bay Packers if you're the Jaguars, so
right.
It doesn't matter. But do you still give him the respect and as far as game plan goes that he would warrant if he was completely healthy? Probably not. I think you're going to go into that game saying, look, if he proves to be an issue, we'll adjust. But right now, we're going to treat him not like just a guy, but like a good player.
All right. Here's Gus Bradley talking about this week and the importance, just overall, not only this week, but for the Jaguars to get off to a fast start in the month of September.
It goes back to off season, what we found out about our team and OTAs and training camp, and we saw it in preseason, the first couple of games especially. But, you know, that's something that we harp on. We like to start fast and finish faster. You know, it's not just how we start. It's, you know, the whole game, and it's the consistency. I think for us is the important part is to stay on schedule offensively. That's where I think in the preseason we had some first and 20s, first and 15s. You know, that's what we don't want to do. We want to make sure we stay on schedule.
All right. In other words, you know, don't get an obvious pass rushing down.
Well,
it points to one
of the big issues they had throughout the preseason, which was penalties. And it was all over the place, and that forces you into first and 15, first and 20, those kind of situations. They were really good in the first couple games, obviously, offensively with the fast starts. Not so good against Cincinnati. I do... You know, with everything we're going to be watching this weekend, this is a team that clearly needed to clean some things up from a penalty perspective going into the regular season. And if they can against a team as talented as Green Bay, it could put them in a world of trouble against the Packers.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about that. But, you know, look, preseason penalties happen.
Sure.
You know, because you're playing so many different guys and there's different combinations. You would expect that once you get to the regular season, a lot of that should take care of itself.
All right, we'll come back, and I don't know how ready you are to make predictions, but we'll get an overall sense of what you think the Jags are capable of.
Let's do it.
In 2016. That's coming up with Jeff Logman, plus your social media question of the day asking you who will be the Jaguars offensive and defensive MVPs in 2016. We'll get some of your feedback on that as well. Coming up, brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Jeff Logman here with you. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. By the way, just posted our first fantasy forecast podcast of the season. We'll be talking a lot about week-to-week leagues, but also the daily stuff. FanDuel, a big part of that. If you haven't tried FanDuel yet, I've been talking about it for a few years. The reason being, it's an absolute blast. It's a great way to get into fantasy football and not have your season wrecked if you have one major injury in week one. We've all been there before. You draft a guy in the first round, he goes down, and your year's over before it got off the ground. Not at FanDuel.com. Sign up using the promo code Mike, and you get a special offer for new users. Deposit today. You'll get 5 free entries to NFL beginner contests. You're not playing against the pros in these. You get a free entry a week for 5 weeks in a row. All you have to do is beat half the field to win cash. Use my code Mike and get those 5 free entries. And Once you're signed up at FanDuel.com, get into our head-to-head listener league. Go to FanDuel.com/Mike. Play against myself, Tony, Tyler, and many others here at 1010XL with the best return on your investment. $5 gives you a shot at $200, and it's capped at 250 teams. Promo code Mike. Go to FanDuel.com/Mike to play against us head-to-head.
Jaguars Daily is brought to you by Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, the official sports medicine provider for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Now the season officially gets underway on Sunday as the Jaguars host Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers in front of a sellout crowd. And looking ahead to the season, linebacker Paul Pulisic knows this team has high expectations.
It's a great thing to have excitement for guys to want football to be back and want to see the Jaguars do great. We have such high expectations for ourselves and for this team. And that's the most important. We have high standards, and we need to do everything we can to rise to our own personal standards. And when we get there, we set a new bar.
Now the Jags are asking fans to submit photos of local military members and first responders to be used as a part of a halftime tribute on Sunday. Photos can be submitted through the social media. Photos can be submitted through social media using the hashtag JagSalute or sent through email to entertainment@jaguars.com. This has been Jaguars Daily, brought to you by JOI.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, this is Jaguars Today. Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, sports medicine provider for the Jacksonville Jaguars, Jacksonville Sharks, and Jacksonville University. Make Monday feel like game day with Postgame Monday.
We got the W. I thought I mattered. A big one.
Expert analysis of Sunday's game all day. Brought to you by Dandy Foods, home of the classic Cuban. Everybody loves a classic on 1010XL. Jeff Lagerman lays down the law. Jeff Lagerman Tuesday on Jaguars Today is brought to you by Crockett Law PL Real Estate Law. Now more with Jeff Lagerman.
Health-wise, we're in good shape, very good. You know, we had Michael Bennett and Josh Wells and Bo, but other than that, the health of our team, you know, what we had hoped getting through training camp, so that's worked out really well.
That's Gus Bradley. Healthy? Yes, they are. They escaped. Well, certainly there's some guys on IR, but in terms of frontline starters, they've come through pretty well as far as that goes. I actually saw Roy Miller this weekend. I think he's going to be just fine.
Yeah, he's fine.
For next Sunday.
A veteran guy, and with Roy, I think he doesn't need any snaps in the preseason. You know, and I think he's proven that before, so you don't worry about it. Now the conditioning part of it, you know, hopefully he's gotten enough of that in away from game day in the preseason to where he's going to be ready to handle, you know, 40 snaps in a game, 35 snaps, however many it is that he's going to require. I mean, this team is in great shape.
They are. Absolutely. And, you know, unlike last year when you lost, you know, your key rookie right off the bat, so knock on wood, let's hope it stays that way. Today we asked folks the question today. We'll get to the feedback in a minute, but let's go around the table and get opinions on this. Jeff, starting with you, offensive MVP for the Jaguars. Make your case for who it's going to be.
For me, like I said, I hope it's T.J. Yeldon. But with my eyes telling me that Allen Robinson is ready to take another step, I just can't see anybody but him being it. I mean, he is a consummate pro, super talented. And I made this comment with Kelvin Beachum last night on Jaguars All Access. I asked him, I said, did you think that he was as good as what you thought when you came in here? And he said, way better than I ever expected. Because, you know, every year he seems to reach another level.
Right.
And he's making a level now where you've seen signs of it in the preseason where he catches the short passes and he's starting to get shifty. That's, I think, the exciting part with Allen Robinson. We know about the so-called 50-50 balls we call 75-25 with Allen. I think now we're going to see the short game become even that much more impressive for him.
Tony, who you got?
I would like it to be Blake Bortles. See him take that next big step in his career, protect the ball a little bit more, put up somewhere comparable numbers to what he did as far as yardage and touchdowns. But I agree with Jeff. There's one guy on this team that I look at him offensively and say he's in another stratosphere right now and looks like he belongs there, and that's Allen Robinson. So he's the guy I'd pick as the offensive MVP.
Tyler, who you got?
I was going to say the same thing. The only case I can make would be for Allen Robinson. He looks like a different player this year, so one of the top five wide receivers in the game, I'd say.
I think he's the best guy on offense at his position, you know, compared to his peers around the league. But I am going to go with Bortles here, and because if they get to where they need to go to become a winning team, I think it's going to be coming from, in large part, what you talked about earlier, his greater efficiency, cut down on those bad turnovers, protect the football. He's got plenty of weapons around him. Allen Robinson, I think, will have a terrific year. But so might Allen Hurns and Marquise Lee. Let's keep him healthy. And then you got Julius Thomas, and you got these running backs. So he's got a lot of guys that he can spread the ball to help him look good along the way as well. Defensively, I'm going to go with Tashawn Gibson. I think you can go with a number of different directions here. I think he clearly filled in a spot that they've been looking for the answer for a while. If he can play up to the level he played at 2 years ago in Cleveland, I think that changes the entire complexion of the defensive secondary for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Tyler, who you got on defense, defensive MVP for the Jags?
I like Tashawn Gibson. I think he changes the way that secondary looks back there.
All right, so that's two for Gibson. Tony?
I don't think the statistics will make him the MVP. I think Malik Jackson's going to have a huge impact on what they're able to do defensively, and I think it allows a guy like Dante Fowler Jr. and Unique Ngakoue opportunities to make plays with the push we've seen from him already up the middle of that defense. I don't think he'll have the numbers that a guy like Gibson or even Ramsey or some of these guys in the secondary will have, but I like Jackson as my MVP.
I'm taking Dante Fowler. The guy is an absolute freak athletically, and I think that he's not going to have, you know, double-digit sacks or anything, but his presence will be felt.
It will show up on game day.
The only thing that I worry about with Dante is the maturity part of it. You know, is he ready to be a mature player to show how good and how talented he is?
All right. What are you feeling, Jeff? I mean, I don't know when you're making your official prediction or if you even really make it an official prediction.
Eight or nine.
That's where I am, too.
And I feel good about 8 or 9. You know, I feel good that if they can get 8 or 9, I think that's a good year. Is it a great year? No, it's a good year.
And if you think they can win 8 or 9, that means they could make the playoffs, right?
Yes.
Not necessarily winning 8 or 9, but if you're at 9, it's not, you know, you get one more. All of a sudden, you start talking about a 10-win team. You almost expect 10-win teams to make the playoffs. I know they don't always. It's not a hard and fast rule, but you get in that range, and then you're a viable playoff contender.
Let's have conversation about playoff and possibilities in December with this team. What I'm looking for.
Right. Not because the AFC South is the dregs of the National
That's
Football
right.
League. I'm with you. All right, well, we know you got to get out of here. What do you got coming up the rest of the week?
A lot of things.
I know you do. That's why I ask you every week.
The Gus Bradley Show Thursday, which will be on Jaguars.com, streamed as well.
Okay.
On the radio as well, on these airwaves. And then Jaguars Thursday after that, Saturday morning outdoor show, and then tomorrow night is our debut of our new show.
On Fox 30?
It will be on Channel 4.
Channel 4.
And it's Jaguars Live, and looking forward to that. That's 8 p.m., Channel 4.
Gotcha, 8 p.m. tomorrow night. We'll check it out. We'll see you around the stadium the next few days.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, buddy. There he goes, Jeff Logman, in with us every Tuesday. We'll be breaking down some game film next week, Tony. Some
hallelujah.
Real game film with Loggy. He's got him at 8 or 9 wins right now. We'll get our official predictions later in the week, and we'll get everyone else's predictions.
It's not that I mind breaking down spots 50 to 53 on the roster, but I'm tired of breaking down spots 50 to 53
honestly,
on the roster.
Let's not even look right now past, like, spot 30.
Right.
You know, let's focus on the front line guys on this football team, staying healthy and providing some wins, and starting off on Sunday would be a great way to do it. Today, we asked you what we just did. Give us your offensive and defensive MVPs for the Jaguars in 2016. What kind of feedback did we get?
Here's what we got from DC Kyle. He said A-Rob and Jalen Ramsey, a.k.a. the 2016 Defensive Rookie of the Year winner. From Johnny, Allen Robinson and Malik Jackson. From Andy, T.J. Yeldon and Miles Jack as his picks. From Irish Jaguar, Allen Robinson and Miles Jack. From Isaiah, Allen Robinson and Tashawn Gibson. From Skeptic, we got offense, A-Rob, defense, Telvin, stock down now, but only guy with multiple player of the week mentions. And from Kurt, A-Rob and Fowler Jr.
All right, let me take a quick look on the Facebook page here. Jaguars Today on Facebook, and same question for you guys out there. Let's see. Got to be Bortles and Malik Jackson. Real excited for the start of the season. Game week, said Brandon. Daniel went with Bortles on offense, Gibson on defense. That's a common pairing that you've heard already. Offensive MVP, Allen Robinson, 97 catches, 1,488 yards, and 17 touchdowns, says Damon. Damon's always a little bullish statistically. And defensive MVP, Jalen Ramsey, six interceptions and two touchdowns. He's getting very specific there. Just combinations, Bortles and Miles Jack, Allen Robinson, Jalen Ramsey, Bortles and Gibson, Robinson and Telvin, Odrick and Beecham. That's interesting. Hey, if Beecham plays like he played a couple of years ago, it's not out of the realm of possibility that he'd be one of the more valuable. I think it'd be tough to be the most valuable guy on offense. Robinson and Ramsey, Ivory and Marks. There's a nice combo. Blake and Malik, Blake and Ramsey. I mean, you go back over the last several years, the candidates, the list was incredibly small. Legitimate candidates to be a guy that would stand out to the point that you consider him the most valuable guy on the football field on either side of the ball.
I can remember during Bradley's first season here when we would ask who are the top five players on this roster. At the time, Blackman was suspended, but he was pretty much on everyone's list.
Absolutely.
And there was a lot of Paul Posluszny. Probably about 50% of lists just going through their top five players on this roster had Josh Scobie as one of the five best players on this roster, and to think how much that has changed.
He scores all the points.
Oh, my goodness. Just how much, thank goodness, it has changed here over the course of the next three or four years.
You can throw Blake. You can throw Allen Robinson. You can throw Allen Hurns.
You can throw five guys on offense.
Right. You throw Linder. Right. Yeah. I mean, there are a lot of guys on the offensive side, and you get Malik Jackson there, Gibson. Who knows what Miles Jack is going to be, what Jalen Ramsey is going to be immediately out of the gates. They profile as future top five players
for this
football team.
If Jalen Ramsey intercepts six passes, I have zero doubt that he's the defensive rookie of the year. If he gets six picks,
maybe.
Yeah.
Marcus Peters had, eight last year for Kansas City.
He is one of four players that had more than six interceptions in the league last year in the NFL. If Ramsey's in that kind of company, he's going to win rookie of the year.
Very, very likely that he would. He'd be strong in the conversation, and I'll take it. I'll take the six, and I'll worry about the individual accolades
when
we get back from Houston as the Jaguars hoist the Lombardi Trophy at Super Bowl 51. That does it for us today. Thanks to Jeff Loggeman for popping on board with us, as he'll do all throughout the football season. For Fat Tony, for Tyler Devitt, and for Joe Fortunato, I'm Mike Dempsey as we wrap things up here for Jaguars today. One day closer to game day. Midday Chalk coming up next on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
You can't have a newcomer come in and steal a show.
You guys have a good day. Peace.
Hey, folks, Mike Dempsey here for Dandy Foods. Dandy Sandwiches and Subs. Always talk about what a great option they are for lunch. You know why? They're a great option for lunch. That's why I keep talking about it, whether it's the classic Cuban, the tuna or chicken salad, or any of their new varieties, including the light and more healthy options with the lunch wraps. Hey, they're light, but they'll still absolutely fill you up. They've got great breakfast options now, breakfast sliders. Some of the best money you're going to spend. $3 gets you a pair of breakfast sliders, each with a slice of tasty melted cheddar cheese on a freshly baked bun. They call it baby brioche, and it's absolutely the perfect size for eating on the go. That's what it is about, Dandy, eating on the go. You eat on the go quite a bit, right? You don't want to waste your lunch hour in the fast food drive-thru. No, head to Circle K, head to Kangaroo Express, head to anywhere that carries Dandy and Anytime Deli products. Head right to the fresh case. You're going to get quality ingredients, fresh food, delicious, at a price that you're going to absolutely feel like you got your money's worth. That's the formula for over 60 years. Do what I do, folks. Go out and make yours a Dandy today.